I've learned something in my lifetime, and I think you're aware of this. I've spoke to you about it a number of times, and you've had experience yourself. That though people may be careless, neglectful, so far as carrying on your vision as to worldwide evangelism, yet they are not careless as to do what they want to do. So they will do what they want to do. I could say some things here, but I might have my wife after me and might get somebody else upset too. I say something to prove that. But they will do what they want to do. As I said the other day, the child is known by his doings. But it makes it real bad when there is so much to be done throughout the entire world. And people won't stand behind their commitments or have interest in what they're doing to the extent that when they do it, even if they do it, it ain't worth anything to you because you go back and it isn't done right and they didn't have their minds on it and their minds is all scattered, you know, and they have done it, which was the case yesterday and some things that I had. It's just, it's unreal, things I had to happen yesterday. Really puts me on the spot. But men will do what they want to do. So I learned by that I might not be able to get people to do things. Or as I put things before people, they might not do it. But I can do what I want to do. God allows me to do what I want to do. So as an individual, though men do contrary to you, and they won't work with you, you can, if you want to be a Christian, pass this on to you. Just as I can do what I want to do, then you can do what you want to do. You can go right on winning souls, go right on fasting, go right on praying, go right on living for God, right on doing whatever you want to do. You can do that. See, and I can too. So that's where we're at. But in the meantime, if you are in that position, then you have to be sure that you eliminate every other source that's going to demand your attention or draw you away from your steadfastness as to your goal, as to an individual source, all way of life. So this has been my problem. We speak of the preacher's problems. I have tried in many ways for numbers of years to give different people a ministry. I started out to do that. That was my purpose. I considered it. I thought it over. And I thought everyone needs to do something for God. And I started out to give everyone a ministry that I thought really wanted to do something for God. But you know, folks, when you narrow it down, there's not very, very many people that really want to do something for God. It's like a brother that said in men's meeting last night, one of the chiefs, he said, to be honest with you, I don't want to live for God. See, but why in the name of reasoning would he hold a chief's position, one of the chief leaders? Why would he do that? He said, I just ain't got it. Don't want to live for the Lord. Don't have any desire for it. Oh, that's bad. Because David said, stir up your pure minds. You know, you got a mind called the mind of Christ. You need to stir it up and it'll make you want to. But as long as that old carnal mind that you're born with, that old mind of the devil, gullible desire of the world, as long as that thing's there, you ain't going to have no desire to live for God. It's going to overrule and override everything that you go to do. So you need to stir up your pure mind. That's not a pure mind there. Satan, he is in the carnal mind, and that's death. But stir up the mind of Christ, the pure mind, the mind that wants to be about the Father's business, and the mind that will lead you into eternal securities. I just love to serve God. I do, so help me, I do. Amen. The Bible says, when you delight yourself in the Lord, then He will give you the desires of your heart. Many of you don't have the desires of your heart because you've never delighted yourself in serving God. You serve God, you say, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. You know, but it's for, the Bible said, when serving God becomes a joy to you. It is a joy. I mean, it's like a bubbling spring. I am so thrilled that I don't have words of expression I mean, this is this way all the time. As to being a Christian and serving God, I love it so much that he just gives me anything I want, anytime I want it. But the one thing he won't do is make people serve him. He won't do that. So when I need your help and I need your consideration and you don't give it, see, I can't make you. I can't make you give it. I can't make you do that. See, it's out of love that a man and a woman stays together and yields themselves one to another. You can't make a man yield his love to you nor a woman. So you can't do that. And it's the same way with Christ in the church. Let whosoever will come. You can't have an old mind of resentment and a mind of haughtiness, a mind of overconfidence as to who you are and what you are and your ability and what you can figure out and how you think about it. And it's that way because you thought of it. You can't do that. See, the Bible said not to lean to that old serpent mind. That first mind of your birth is the serpent mind because it's interwoven with death and with infiltration. See, but you got to come to the mind of Christ. And you got to change sides. You got to be regenerated. You got to be born again. You can't serve God just by being religious, joining a church. That's one of the most detestable things that I have ever been acquainted with. You get to where it's repulsive to you. It's loathsome to you. You hate it. You don't want to go to church. You just rather stay at home. You don't want to talk about nothing religious. You know, it's just a burden to you. But folks, when you get what I got down in your soul, I'm telling you, it's a joy that is unspeakable. There's not words. There's not words. There's no vocabulary utterance that is adequate for expression as to the joy. It's unspeakable. And it's just full of glory. It's just full of glory. So I said all that to say this, that it really puts a man between the rock and the hard place. Because my vision is broad. It's so many multiplied beautiful things that I wanted to do, that I had in mind to do. Had all outlined. It just worked out beautifully. But see, people are involved. And where people are involved, that's where God has problems. God's plan hasn't worked out like he would like for it to have worked out because people were involved. As a matter of fact, the disappointment was so great that he repented that he ever made a man, that he ever made a man and put him on the face of the earth. He was that disappointed. So to correct it, he just come down himself in a human body and done it all himself, like the song that I wrote. When he searched through heaven and couldn't find anyone, he just came down and he did it himself. And that's what makes it so bad when people are involved. You have an automobile, but what good is it if you don't have a man to drive it? A truck, got to have a man to drive it. A boat, got to have somebody to run it, to pilot, to care for it. A home, somebody's got to keep it up. Somebody's got to be interested in it. Raising a crop, somebody's got to get out there and labor. Everything, see, God has involved man in everything. And here's what we don't seem to understand. Is that our problems are not of God. I talk to my wife a lot about things, you know, kind of detailed things and confidential things that maybe I can't express too freely to the church. But, see, we don't have any problems that's of God. I said this to you once before. We don't have any problems that's of God. There is no problems to man that comes from God. Though life is filled with problems, few days and full of trouble. And though you have all kind of problems, man that is born of woman is but a few days and full of trouble. It doesn't matter what he has. Solomon had all kind of riches. He had all kind of wives. He had all kind of everything that his earthly side could desire, his heart could wish for. But all he had was problems, problems, and problems. You may have the finest wife in the world, but you still got problems. He that marries will have trouble in the flesh. You have the finest kind of companion as to a husband. Finest kind of family as to children. Your debts may be paid up, you know, but you still got problems. And man, he's just full of pain and misery and aches and problems, fears and frustrations, anxieties and complications of life. But you don't have one, not one, that God has ever given you. Not one. He has never given you one. Never given you one. Be serious, little ladies. Don't be comical in church. It's nothing funny at all. That's the carnal mind of death. So then, you don't have one problem, not one problem, that God has ever given you. Not one. Don't get upset at me now, little lady. You know, it was a spirit that caused you to act like that to start with. And then if you get upset, when God gets through with you, He'll give you a spanking like you never dreamed of. And the next time, you'll know what it means when the preacher says, reverence the sanctuary. Because if you let a spirit get in your mind and start warring against me, you're just a little young girl, and you don't know what it's all about. But when he gets through, you'll be all grown up. Just take what the preacher says and go on your way. Don't be ugly. So, you don't have any problems that God ever gave you. He has never given you one problem. You are your own problem. You are the cause of all of your problems. Not God. There's not one problem that man has that's of God. Not one. The Bible said God never perverts a man in his cause. Never. God never bothers a man in his cause. He lets him eat, drink, do what he wants to. We've got tummy problems. We've got heart problems. We've got brain problems. We've got kidney problems. Young girls and boys are dying with cancer from rebelling against God. A sinful, adulterous generation. Minds of evil and ugliness and rebellion and contrariness. And God immediately smites them because of that. So see, you don't have any problems of God. You only have your problems. Death, the Bible said, came by man. It didn't come by God. Your fears of dying and all your problems of dying and all your sicknesses that leads to dying. See, not any of them came from God. The Bible said they came through man. When Eve sinned and let death in, and when Adam allowed for it. See, so all of your problems, you have pains, you have misery because you overeat. You overeat. You eat and overeat. And then you sit up too late at night, gaze at TV, and all of those things that's non-virtuous. And you take poison into your system to where devils and demons harass your mind. And you do this, and the first news you know, you got all these pains and miseries. See, God didn't give them to you. You gave place to the devil. And because you gave place to the devil, then you got problems. The little girl is still going to be contrary to mine. And that's all right. We'll just leave you to the Lord. I'll just turn you over to the Lord. And the sister over to my right, I'm beginning to pick up her spirit. She's not surrendered. She's been a rebellious woman, and she about whipped it out. But I noticed lately it's getting a hold of her again. And contrary, but I'll leave it to you and the Lord. I'm trying to tell you something tonight. Your problem is not of God. Your rebellion is not of God. I got a man here to my left. He wants to be a little contrary. He didn't like what I said. He wants to be a little contrary in his mind. But that's okay. I'll let you work that out with God too. Most of you, your spirit's pretty smooth. Everything's going on pretty well. But there's a few ripples in the water here and there. But I'll let God work with you a little while, and then after a while, there won't be no ripples in your stream either. He'll get them all out. So, you don't have any problems that's of God. I challenge any person that's looking at me right now, or any person that I'm looking at right now, to stand up, whether here or whether it be abroad, as to contacting me, writing me, calling me, whatever, and prove to me one problem that they have from God that God's ever given them. One problem. I challenge anybody in the world that ever hears my voice or reads my writings to prove to me one problem that you have ever had from God. There is no such thing. Man is his own problem. He gives place to the devil, and he fellowships the devil, and he won't listen to the minister. He won't listen to the voice of God. He's going to do his own thing. He's going to go his own way. He's going to think his own thoughts. He's going to have the The spirits of devils and demons swarming around him like bees because he's self-willed. He's contrary. The old carnal mind. See, God's enemy. The Bible said to be carnally minded is death. You're God's enemy. The world is a world of educated carnality. Educated carnality. The world is an entire world of educated carnality unto death. The old tree of contrariness. And devils and demons are eating the people up because of that. So then, that is the world. That is the world. See, because you won't listen. I want you to bow your heads. I want to pray concerning this little girl here. I don't have to just point out and call her out because she's contrary. That's right, little sister. You're breaking that spirit now. When I said something about praying and calling you out, because I will, I'll just call you up to the altar and let you stand here before everybody. So bow your head with me. Close your eyes, and we're going to pray. I'm going to give you a chance to get rid of that thing that's aggravating me. And the Bible said the spirit of foolishness, that is a demon spirit, is bound in the heart of a child. But a good belt, a good correction, or the Bible said the whipping, beat him and you'll not kill him. You'll drive it far from him. So I'm going to give you a chance to get rid of it so that the wrath of God won't be on you. Father God of heaven, in the wonderful name of Jesus, you see that this is just a little girl sitting here, and that these two little girls really meant no harm, but with their foolishness, Father, and frolic, Lord, they come into your sanctuary when you said reverence your sanctuary. And dear God, remembering that in the days of Elisha, you killed so many little children just from mocking a prophet. How much more dangerous is it, Father, in the day that we're living in, to be in the house of God in irreverence, knowing that at the age of 12, you was about your father's business, Jesus. Then, Master, we know that we understand even at a young age. So deliver these little girls from this foolishness and strengthen them and help them, Father, to see that that's mistreating the Lord Jesus that took the nails for them and that they should not do that. And Father, that if they're going to allow anything to bother them, they should sit back in the balcony or back in the back somewhere, Father, as not to give place to Satan, to sit in the seat of the scornful nor stand in the way of sinners. Father, you said our delight should be in the laws of the Lord, and then we should meditate day and night. We should enter into the sanctuary with thanksgiving and with praise in our heart. So I ask you to deliver them in the name of Jesus. All right, I want to go on with my thought here. I may not even get into the things I wanted to talk to you about tonight because I felt like impressing these thoughts upon you for the sake of your faith. So, you don't have any problems that God has given you. Not any at all. The only problem you have is yourself. Without yourself, you might say, Brother Pike, other people are my problem. I'll tell you what can happen. If you die tonight and they put you in a box, after that, if there was any way that you had to know, you'd find out that nobody didn't bother you. Nobody didn't give you no problems. Not anyone. They could lay you out here before everybody, but nobody wouldn't give you no problems. See, because the one that gave you problems was the one that was dwelling in that little house of clay. And when he left, that ended all of your earthly problems. So you're your problem, no one else. God hasn't given you any problems. So then what has God done for us? God has blessed us. He has blessed us in such a way that he come into this world, he spilt the blood from his veins, and spill is the wrong word because he gave it. He didn't accidentally spill it. He gave his blood. He gave his life. God, through a human body, gave life. Gave his blood so that all humanity, think of this now, all humanity could be protected from death and sorrow and heartaches and problems. That the devil would not, as somebody has used the terms, beat their brains out. See, so everybody, Jesus took away the sins of all the world. Everybody is under His kind grace and His love. So that you have a chance to live a long life or a short life. Men shorten their days by their disobedience. And they make allowance as to diseases by lack of wisdom and understanding. Or walk out in front of a car because you're pouty and upset with your husband or wife. And you got a short lifeline. It's up to you. Take care of your health. Watch after yourself. You can live longer. Suck on weeds. Frolic. Do whatever you want to. Die quicker. Sit around and gaze at TV and put your eyes out. See, God has been so good that He has made allowance through His grace that all of humanity can have an opportunity to the extent that Satan can't jump on them and mistreat them. Unless they turn in His direction. Unless they give place to Him. He's made you a sovereignty and He has set a wall between you and Satan, even the blood. To where if you're willing, the Bible said if you're willing, you can eat the good of the land. If you're good and obedient, you can have long life. If you refrain your tongue from speaking evil, you can have long life. Honor your parents, children, and the Bible said you'll have long life. So, see, God has so made it to where He has given you grace, to where you don't have to worry. You have an opportunity to do right or to do wrong. If He had not given that grace, you'd been in a terrible predicament, but He made it to where you could have grace. Now, that's as far as He can go. He can't go any farther. If He could go any farther, He would. But see, He can't go any farther than that. He has made life possible. He hath made righteousness possible. He hath made health and happiness possible. He hath made everything just to where it's at your fingertip. But He can't go any farther. Because if He goes any farther, He has to encroach upon the rights of sovereignty. Because every individual is a sovereignty. And God will not invade your sovereignty nor your privacy of life. He will not force an issue upon any individual. So He will not go any farther. It's up to you as to make your decision. I set before you a blessing and a curse. You choose which one you want. So He won't go any farther. He cannot go any farther. Now, if it's a matter of blessing you, then He cannot bless you unless you turn and believe in His finished works to take away the reproach of sin from mankind. Because He cannot fellowship iniquity. He cannot fellowship you in sin. He cannot get near you because the Bible said He cannot even look upon iniquity. So then you've got to draw nigh to Him, He said, and then I'll draw nigh to you. And the only way you can draw nigh to Him is to come into His presence with thanksgiving and praise, believing in the finished work of the atonement, in that they overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the work of Christ, and the words of their testimony is to testify unto the effects of it. He cannot do anything at all in your life unless He purifies your heart. He must of necessity purify your heart. And the Bible said He purifies our heart by faith. By faith. He is a spirit. He is the spirit of virtue and love and purity and of power and of greatness, of glory. And He has to come in through the door of your heart. He said, I stand at the heart's door and I knock. If anyone will open to Me, I'll come in and I'll sup with him. So see, He's here. Faith is of the heart. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and he knocks. He knocks by the preacher's words. He knocks by the word of God. He knocks by many, many means. And if you open the door to heart, to faith, or open the heart's door of faith, He immediately comes in. Because faith purifies your heart. That is, faith is the open door to the Spirit and the virtues of Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, that it comes in and it purifies your heart. And when your heart is pure, a stream of His power comes down from heaven and pours down through you. and the power of God is then brought to you, brought down to you as God just releasing it from Himself to pour down through human instrumentality through the faith of a human heart or a human being to go out and to heal, to save, to deliver, to do whatever. See, God does that because once the heart is purified, there is no hindrance and He can just pour through. And He already wants to. See, the Bible said, command thou me concerning the works of my hands. That is to say, I have already done everything that's needful. Everything that can be done, I've already done it. Everything. And now all that I am, all that God has, is given into your hands. To where it's not a matter of will I do it for you or him or her, or if this one is good or that one is bad. It's not a matter of that. I've taken away the sins of all the world. I poured out my grace upon everybody, the harlot, the drunkard, everybody else. It's not a matter of whether you're eligible or he's eligible, or will I do it for you or do it for him or her. It's a matter of you drawing nigh to this great virtue of God through believing in the sacrifice of my Son. And if you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. And it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth on the name of my Son is to his atonement for sin to take away their iniquity. I will hear from heaven and I'll heal their lands. So the secret then is faith. Faith. Jesus said, if thou canst believe, only believe. Faith, not fasting, not prayer, not how holy I can live, no matter how good I try to be. It has nothing to do with it. He purifies my heart by His own virtue, His own Spirit. And that's when I open the door of faith. By faith, He purifies my heart. So His virtue cleanses and purifies me. Now, with the heart, I believe unto righteousness. I believe unto virtue. I believe unto God. By believing in the atonement, that sin is taken out of the way. For Christ's sake, He forgives my sin. So in this we see that it's not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. And God has freely given this to us. So He said, command thou me concerning the works of my hand. I've already given it to you. It's not a matter of whether you're eligible or not. It's not a matter of whether I will do this for you or not. It's not a matter of that at all. I've already given it to you. It's a matter of your unbelief or faith in God. See, faith commands God. Now, the only thing is, we have to remember that faith comes by measure. God hath dealt unto every man a measure of faith. So it comes by measure. And we've got to realize that faith can be weak, or faith can be strong. That is to the extent of the individual. Not that the law is weak, but Paul said, weak through my weakness. I'm weak as to perform it. So through the weakness of the law, it could not do what I wanted it to do. So then, not that faith is weak, but being weak in faith. Whereas the Bible said Abraham was not weak in faith, but strong in faith. So then being strong in faith, so we see a strength to faith. See, and then another thing we've got to remember is there's no make-believe with faith. There is unbelief, there is make-belief, and then there's real true belief or believing. So then there's no make-believe. You can't manufacture it. You can't just jump up and say, bless God, I believe, and shake and push people down and pray for them and say, glory to God, eyes be open, and you know God healed you, and you know, like these evangelists do, prancing around like that, and rubbing her hands and popping her hands and pouring all over you and popping you up there. And, glory to God, glory to God. That don't mean that ain't worth a hill of beans. See, faith don't work like that at all. Faith is something that is a development. It is the result of serving God, of being holy and godly before God to the extent that you do everything that you can, everything that's possible, everything through prayer, everything through fasting, everything through sacrifice, everything through listening to the Word of God, attending the services of God, fellowshipping the saints of God, learning the Word of God, growing in the grace of God, in the knowledge of God, doing the things that please God, denying your own self, taking up your cross and follow Him. He said, when you do these things, Hereby you assure your heart before God, and then do you have confidence. For he said, the heart is desperately wicked above all things, who can know it? Do thy diligence to keep thine heart. For whatever you have in life that he called the issues of life comes from the heart condition. That is, for out of the heart comes forth the issues of life as to believing or unbelief. So then do thy diligence to keep thine heart. See, and when we do the things that please God, we don't try to manufacture nothing. There is a development. There is a condition of heart. There is a conviction of heart. There is a convincing, John said, of heart. To the extent that we know that God hears us, we say, Lord, I've stumbled, I've staggered, which Brother Pike is chief of failures. But anyway, I have stumbled and I've staggered, Lord. And I've done everything I know to try to serve you. But in spite of that, I've just stumbled. Lord, help me. And something will rise up on the inside. And a confidence will be, I've done my best. I know God's good. I know he loves me from all the things that he's done. I've been tutored and taught in this. So I've got all that laid aside. I don't have to wonder if I'm eligible or wonder about this or which way it works or how faith works or what faith is. I know all that. Now, God, I'm depending on you. I'm trusting in you. And the heart will trust in you. That is faith. And according to the measure of the trust and confidence, so is the reward of the power of God. As to whatever you want, as to whatever you'd like to have, or whatever you'd like God to do for you. But so is the measure of your faith as to your confidence. And so is the confidence as to your surrender and conformity of truth and conviction with the Savior. So, like the man that came and wanted his little son healed, and the disciples could not heal the little son. And it was asked, why? Why is this? Said, because of your unbelief. Your unbelief. And then Jesus says, oh, sinful and an adulterous generation. Then he said, how long shall I suffer you? Faithless and perverse generation. So then you can see that being faithless was because of being perverse. Not doing right. That's what caused them to be faithless. So, faith working in your heart and the door of faith open automatically brings God into your life in a great, tremendous way. And according to the measure, and the measure according to the surrender, the conformity, the desire is to delighting yourself in the Lord, the laws of the Lord, and in the Lord, in meditating in his laws day and night. So it is so wonderful to know that we have the opportunity of believing. We have the opportunity of knowing and understanding faith and its operation. There should be nothing that should stand between us and God and the power of God and the things of God as to what we want. When serving the Lord becomes a joy. When you get away from the world and you forget about the ambitions of the world and all the things you want to do in the world and you're sick of the world and you turn to the things of God with all of your heart. He said, in the day that you seek me with all of your heart, then shall you find me, saith the Lord. With all of your heart. Because it's with the heart that man believeth unto righteousness. So then, this is why he tells you not to lean to your own understanding. Because you're born of a contrary mind, because of the infiltration of Lucifer. And that it's imitated with God. It cannot have faith. There is no faith in the carnal mind. It doesn't believe at all in the supernatural. Not at all. So you've got to have the mind of Christ. Let the mind of Christ be in you. This mind that was also in Christ Jesus. That mind that believed. That believed with all of its heart, that mind believed. Christ Jesus, his spirit, the same yesterday, today and forever. And another thing to remember is this. When it comes to believing, Jesus made it so simple. He said, no matter what you say, No matter what you say. You know, Jesus went around saying things. He said, Lazarus, come out of the tomb. He said to the fig tree, you'll produce no more. All kind of things. Jesus did that. And he said, whatever you say, let whosoever will. I took away the sins of the world. Am I then eligible? Who's eligible? Anybody. Oh, somebody said, well, that couldn't be, Brother Pike. Oh, yes. What if a sinner did that, Brother Pike? It'd work out just right. Oh, somebody said, Brother Pike, you must be crazy. Do you think a sinner could come up and say something and God would do it for him as sure as you breathe your breath? Because God has taken away his sins. He took away the sins of the world. Oh, Brother Pike, you must be crazy. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you think if you was a sinner and you come up and said, God saved me, that he would save you, a sinner, and that by faith? You mean you think you could just believe and you'd be all right in his sight? If that's true, why couldn't the man that said to the tree, as Jesus said it, why wouldn't it happen? Since he purifies the heart by faith, it's for sure if he didn't believe, he'd still be a sinner. And if he was a sinner, it wouldn't happen. But it's for sure that if he believed what he said, he would have faith and his heart would be purified. And thus he wouldn't be a sinner. He would be a believer. And he would have whatsoever he said. So Jesus said, I say unto you that whosoever says whatever, if they can believe in their heart and not doubt, they shall have whatsoever they say. So then God saves us by faith. And people who believe in God are cleansed immediately. So he so loves us while we're yet in our sins that he died to take away all of the sins of the world just so he could get to us, we who are the elect of God. Just to be able to get to us who are the elect of God. God so loved us that he made a plan and gave a program to where he could save us while we were yet in our sins. See, the man that believes. So to God there is no sin to anyone because the blood has taken it away. And if a man believes, then he is eligible for purification of the heart. So to be able to believe in God and his power is to have salvation. For it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if it was real, genuine faith in the man's heart, it would be positive proof that in his heart he had called on the Lord and he was not a sinner. All right. So then where does that put us? It says to you and I who are the elect of God, we who believe we are the elect, not the Pentecostals, not the Baptists, not the Methodists, not the Catholics and the Presbyterians. Not the non-denominationals, not the shouting, the run, the hollowing, nor them that sits so pious in their seats, or them that try to be ever so holy and pious. Not them. That's not the children of God. But them that believed are the children of God. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called, which is the child of faith from faithful Abraham. So then, if you are a child of God, it is because you believe. Not because of something you've done. It is because you believe. Someone says it's because, Brother Pike, that I sought God. No, it isn't because you sought God. Because God said, you have not sought me. Whoever sought God? He said, you've not sought me. I sought you. I come to seek and to save that which was lost. So see, it isn't anything that we do. So by his grace, while we were yet in our sins, Jesus sought us by giving his life for us and making a way to where the great Spirit of God through the voice of the ministry and them that testify of the glory of God could seek and search out those that are lost. So then we see that God has sought us and God has loved us and God has come after us. Ever since the fall in the garden, God has come after us and sought to save us, to seek us out, to save us. So then we've done nothing. But someone says, but my righteousness, he said, as filthy rags. As filthy rags. So it is. All your fasting and whatever. So the righteousness then is of God. By faith. Abraham, the father of the faithful. By faith, the righteousness which is by faith, even faith of Jesus Christ. Even faith of the Lord Jesus, that righteousness that purifies my heart. So God accepted his faith as the perfect life. His life, his faith, his believing, his unwavering, unwavering, unbroken attitude toward the Heavenly Father. And thus he hath given it to me and imparted it unto me for righteousness and imputed faith unto me for righteousness. Thus purifying my heart. So someone would say, well, Brother Pike, now if that be true, that means all of the world, the harlotry, the murderers, the liars, the cheats, all of them, the ball games, the frolics, whatever, all of them can just believe, because they do believe, you know. The boxer sits in his corner and they do this, I know for a fact. And they sit in the corner and they rub the gloves, you know, and they say, Lord, help me to knock his eyes out. They don't just exactly use that term. And they come back to the corner and they said, God, help me to flow him. Devils and demons, perversion, liars. People have taught them to believe that. See, they say all the world then can be saved. All the world can believe. They can believe but not have faith unto salvation. So then they can believe and things do happen for them, believe it or not. But see, faith unto salvation is of the heart. And that comes to repentance. And that comes through believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. That comes to surrender and conformity to his ways, to his love, to his grace. Not that the surrendering or anything has anything to do with it. It's only by those means that you draw nigh to God. And when you do it, then he saves you by purifying your heart with faith. So it is his Spirit that is eternal life. If you have faith, it'll come in and you have eternal life. And if you don't have faith, it won't come in. And if you don't have faith, you have not his Spirit. You don't have eternal life. You're none of his. So tonight, in saying these things, I want to leave the thought with you. I felt like that I couldn't get into what I had considered that he had given me this tonight before ever came, and I felt like that's what he was going to get around to. That's why I talked like I did. It's concerning your faith. So tonight all we've got to do is ask anything that we will and say what we will. And it will be done unto us if we believe and don't doubt. Believe and don't doubt. Peter said, Lord, if that's you, then bid me come to you. Jesus said, come on. Come on. There was nobody else in the ship that did that. Nobody else in the ship that did that. Those waves raging out there at that particular moment, no one in the ship dared do that. But Peter was a man of courage. And if you gave him a challenge, you couldn't hardly stop him. And he said, Lord, if that be you, you tell me to come. I'll come. The Lord said, Peter, come. And overboard Peter went. Over into the water he went. Waves raging or not, over into the water he went. He got spellbound by God. And Jesus walking on the water and knowing that he was a man and thinking about him a man and walking on the water. And he got to thinking, no doubt, my God, if that man can walk on the water, what can't I walk on the water? And he thought, Master, if you've got that ability, then you could give me that ability. Because he'd seen the great things that Jesus did. So he said, come on, Peter. And Peter began to walk on the water. Not because he was more righteous than anybody else. He was the one that denied. He was the one that cursed. He was the one that said, I don't know this man. They don't say the other disciples did that, but here he was. He was the one that was walking on the water. Why was it then that was more holier than thou as to Peter? Because it's not like that. It was a faith. Peter believed God. He repented. He cried bitterly when he realized his mistake and when he realized he'd cursed and when he realized he'd done wrong and all them kind of things. He was a man of a repentant heart. And so then, he walked on the water. But the very minute that he got his eyes off of Christ, and the very minute that he considered his situation and his surrounding, and considered the raging, foaming waves, the very second that he did that, he became carnally minded. He got out of the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ said, "Come, Peter." And he got out of the mind of Christ. The Word of God said, "Come, Peter." The Word was made flesh. He got out of the mind of God, and he looked around just like that. And the very moment that he took his eyes off of the Word, looked down, down he went. Because the connection was broken. Faith was gone. And down he went, just like Eve when she ate of the forbidden fruit. Down he went. And then he began to scream out for mercy. Turned his eyes back to the Word, back to the mind of God, back to the things of God, and believed again. And the Word reached down, took his hand, and saved him. But see, he wasn't the victorian then that he was when he mastered the situation by walking on the water, so far as the world is concerned. So then I said that again to say, if we say what we will, and we don't waver, we don't doubt. But Jesus said just prior to this, that if you have anything against anyone, forgive them. Forgive them. If you have anything against anyone, forgive them. Get the malice out. Get the jealousy out. Get the wrong out. Get all of the hypocrisy out. If you have anything against anyone, forgive them. Unless you do, your heavenly Father will not forgive you your trespasses. So, as I said to my wife just before we come to church, speaking of these things, I said, this is why that Paul said, make straight paths for yourself. Make straight paths for your feet, for yourself. Not a crooked path, the old serpent way of life, the old intellectual reasoning of death, but make straight paths for yourself. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The mind of God that's right straight down the line. Make straight paths for yourself. He said, lest that which is lame be turned aside. For if you don't have straight paths, he was saying you don't have faith. And the lame will be turned aside. But rather let it be healed. Virtue. Jesus said, I perceive that virtue. God, the Heavenly Father, the great virtue that comes from him. So that virtue, as Jesus said, it's gone out of my body. Virtue may go out of my body. Or virtue leave the body. You're virtuous, you're holy, you're godly, you're pure. Virtue, and it went out and healed the little woman. So, faith, that's what we need. Jesus said in the second chapter of the book of Revelation, I just want to read the scripture here, repent, repent. He says, repent. Or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. So then Jesus says to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. All don't have an ear. And all don't have faith. To every man is given the measure. But all men have not this Christian faith of Christ Jesus. So he tells us that if we can believe, then all things are possible. If you can believe, you can have whatever you want. If you can delight yourself in the laws of the Lord, you can have whatever you want. But if you can't believe, then you can't have it. All right, I want you to stand with me. The Bible says, when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, or after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall receive power. The power is the Holy Ghost. That's His Spirit. He shall receive power. Because the Holy Ghost will guide you into all truth and into all righteousness. He will guide you into all truth and into all righteousness. And when you live in truth and when you live in righteousness, you're going to develop virtue. Virtue will be a derivative of holy living. You're going to develop virtue. And God bases everything that He does on virtue. That's why Mary had the conception, divine conception, and God Himself, as to a human form, the Word made flesh, even God that was the Word in the beginning, it was because of virtue. Being clean, being holy, being godly, being upright, not just as to virtue in the human body as we consider virtue, but Mary was virtuous in her mind. She was holy in her mind. She was clean in her mind. She was godly in her mind. Trying to run around and be virtuous in your body, whether man or woman, and in your mind you're not clean and holy and godly, you're never going to stay virtuous. You're never going to be virtuous because the devil will destroy you. But when you shun the very appearance of evil, that is in the eyes of your understanding, charity thinketh no evil. When you refuse to think evil, then virtue comes, because faith works by charity or by virtue or by faith. That is charity or love. Love purifies. Love works no ill to its neighbor. Love doesn't think evil. Love doesn't take up a reproach against its neighbor. Love, perfect, God love, is charity. And it brings the bond of perfectness. And that brings perfect faith as to a free course in your life for God to deliver, to heal, to give you your heart's desire. You pray that God will guide me and that God will help me. Pray that He will help me to do whatever. Jesus says in the 17th chapter of the book, St. Matthew's, and it's the 17th verse. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, the little boy that is, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Because of your unbelief. Because of your unbelief. Can it be that simple to command God concerning the works of his hands? Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, he shall say unto this mountain, be removed hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. You see what the Lord is saying? All because of unbelief. And then he says, howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. That is, you're going to have to pray. You're going to have to fast. You're going to have to conform to His ways. Not that fasting and prayer is going to do it. I know a lot of folks that fasted and prayed that don't do nothing and ain't got nothing but a mess and wound up in a terrible mess. But that is the way that you conform. I've said this a lot of times. Doing without food will break you down. It'll break your will and ego down if you mess around in the world. You'll lose your ego. It'll be out there. You lose all of your energy and your get up and go, as we say, as to the world. And praying will cause your spirit to emerge more and more in His. That is, it'll conform to His more and more and become interwoven with His spirit more and more as to a conformity. And with that, you'll learn to hunger and thirst after the Word and after the things of God. And you'll learn to grow in the grace and knowledge of God and to the faith of believing what His Word says. So then it's going to take your efforts to condition your heart. Your efforts. But it's going to take His righteousness to purify your heart, as to come into your heart and into your life to where there'll be power
whatever, as to your needs, as to your physical needs, your spiritual needs, your natural needs, whatever. It's going to take faith in God.